I just held up. Your clothespin looks like a cross. Now, it's not near as big as the crosses you got during your hour prior to the service. By the way, you did a good job with that. You know that? Just saying. It takes a lot of guts to stand up in front of people. Did you know that? Yeah. Someday I'll tell you a story about how you spell cow in front of people. But that's another story for another day. Rihanna, here's your clothespin and a half shaped like a cross. Ellie, here's your clothespin and a half shaped like a cross. Ethan, here's your clothespin and a half shaped like a cross. Now, for this entire sermon, I want you to do something with that. And it's very simple. I want you to hold on to it. Okay? After that, what you do with it, it's up to you. But for now, hold on. Okay? And hope the sermon is going to be done sometime soon. Hold on to what you have. That's the encouragement of our text for this morning. There is one thing in life, more than anything else, that is worth holding on to. And that is your faith in Jesus Christ. It's very valuable. It's the most important possession that you have. Your faith in Jesus Christ. That's why on this Confirmation Sunday, we celebrate with you, confirmands. We're happy for you on your special day. You've learned a lot about the faith that God created in you at baptism. Today you're going to make a public profession of your faith in your confirmation ceremony, as you also did in the hour before. You're going to promise something today. You're going to promise that you're going to remain faithful to God and to your church for the rest of your life. Hold on to what God has given you. It's a relationship with Jesus Christ. That's your most important relationship in life. More important than parent and child. More important than husband and wife. More important than friends. More important than a boyfriend and girlfriend even. This relationship has been given to you. You couldn't have gotten it yourself. You can't go to the mall and go shopping for it. You can't pick it up at Walmart or go online and buy it off of Amazon. It's not even American made. And it's not ours by nature. For we are by nature spiritually blind, dead, and enemies of God. We're lost in sin by our nature. So that makes us unable to change our natural condition. It's like Luther wrote in the beginning of his meaning to the third article of the Creed, I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him. So without God's intervention in your life, it would be impossible for you to have God and to have a faith relationship with Jesus Christ. But you have it. It's God's gift to you. It's been freely given. You know what the word grace means? There's an acronym, I think I'm saying that word right, using G-R-A-C-E. God's riches at Christ's expense. A better definition, or just as good, is simply undeserved love or unconditional love. God loves you no matter what. As Paul writes to the Ephesians, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. God sent his Son to be your Savior. And Jesus sacrificed himself to pay for your sins so that you might have forgiveness and spiritual life and that you might live forever in heaven. He did it for you. And God the Holy Spirit gave you the faith to hold on to what Jesus did for you. And by so holding on to that faith, are you still holding on to your crosses? They haven't fallen. You haven't taken them apart yet, have you? I should have told you, don't do that either. I want that to be a reminder to you of what blessings you are holding on to. First of all, in this life, but also for the life to come. In this life, because of God's love for you and your relationship to Jesus Christ, you have a reason to live. No matter what, I don't know what's going to happen in your life. I don't know what you're going to do with your life. But I do know that because of what God has given you, your life, no matter what you do or where you go, should be lived for Jesus and for eternity with Him in heaven. Your life should be a life of faith. That's your reason to live. Your relationship with Jesus. And along with that, then, comes what you need: forgiveness and peace in this troublesome world. Now, whether you know it or not, and you better know it, you're going to sin some more. You should be ashamed of that. God's law points that out to us. But you should be proud what God did about that. He sent Jesus to die for your sins. He made you right with Himself through Jesus. There's this great big long church word. Maybe you heard about it in confirmation instruction. Justification. You have been justified. That's a big long word that simply says you've been made right with God. Or because it's a kind of a courtroom term, God has declared you not guilty even though you are. You are declared right with God even though you're still guilty. You've been declared not guilty, go free. Because God has justified you. That's the central teaching of our Christian faith. So you have a reason to live. You have forgiveness of your sins, and along with that, peace. And then you have God's help and comfort to go on no matter what. God has promised to never leave you or forsake you. He'll keep that promise. Well, that's the blessings for this life, but those blessings go on forever. You've been given a crown that will be yours for eternity. Here's what Paul writes to Timothy. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. There are blessings waiting for you in heaven. Why? Look in your hand. Because somebody died on that. Somebody died on that cross to earn heaven for you. You know what? That's what your parents want for you. It's what your grandparents want for you. That's what your loved ones want for you. That's what your congregation wants for you. Oh, and it's valuable. Now, it doesn't cost you a thing, but it cost Christ his life. It's been given to you as a free gift. You have it from God. Now, look in your hand. Are you still holding it? It's not falling apart yet, has it? No one can take what that cross stands for away from you. No one can take God's love out of your life. The encouragement of our text is for you to remain true in that faith. Now, there's going to be some enemies trying to take it away from you. Of course, our arch enemy, the devil, he's going to tempt you. How old are you? Are you 12, 13? Are you 16, 17, 18? How old are you? 14? 13? If I do my calculations right, that means you got about five or six more teenage years ahead of you. And your parents are squirming. Teenage years! I'm telling you, there'll be a challenge. Oh, it'll be an awesome time in your life. But you're going to be tempted to do what others do. You're going to be tempted to do things that you know are wrong just to get attention or to be in the crowd. You're going to be tempted to impress others by what others think is cool, even though you know it is sin. Oh, that's the devil at work. There are going to be many things to detract you from your faith. And not only during your teenage years, all of us have to admit that continues in life. Peter gives us this encouragement: be self-controlled. Be alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in your faith. Or I can say it this way: resist him holding on to what you have. That's the devil who is at work. Then we live in this sinful world where you're going to be tempted with all kinds of things coming at you, things to occupy your time, things to make you get your priorities mixed up, things that will teach you false things. We hear about a lot about false news or fake news. This world is full of it when it comes to spirituality. This world will offer you all kinds of promises of happiness and pleasure. Hold on to what you have. It's the truth. And then, of course, we got this old sinful flesh that we still have. And because of that, it's easy to become lax in our faith. I'm sad to announce, and I pray this is not going to happen to you, I'm sad to announce that after confirmation, many get lazy spiritually. Too many are not regular in church. Too many seem to have other things more important to them than God. You're going to be tempted in the same way. After all, just think of it. You're not even going to have to come to class on Wednesday nights anymore. That doesn't mean you've graduated. You've not graduated from God. You're just continuing your life with God. The devil, the world, and our flesh. Three reasons why you need to keep holding on. The Holy Spirit's with you on this. Began at your baptism, a miracle that brought you from spiritual death to spiritual life. The Holy Spirit did that miracle, and he keeps doing some awesome work. He's still working. He's given you faith, and he's working to keep you in that faith. And he does it through the means of grace, the word, and sacraments. God's church on earth continues, and you're part of that. To see to it that the means of grace are at work. Please, do not reject the Holy Spirit's work in your life by starving your faith. The Holy Spirit works through these means of grace, feeding your faith, keeping you alive. So make use of them regularly. You all said you would do that in your testimonies this morning. I know it's a lot of work getting confirmed. I mean, getting ready to be confirmed. It doesn't quit. There's a math teacher. What do you have in school nowadays? Back in my day, it was chalkboards, you know, where you'd scrape your fingers down and make everybody cringe. Do they have whiteboards now or smart boards? Or do they even use boards? Maybe they just use tablets. You know, back in my day, a tablet was a pill you took. Now a tablet is this thing that puts the whole world in front of you, right in your hands and right in front of your face. Or whatever they use, the math teacher was writing this long algebra problem. And finally, after working all the way through that problem, all the way across, she said, "And so we find that x equals zero." And a smart aleck student, probably one about your age, shouted out, "All that work for nothing." What do you think? Were those 2 years of confirmation instruction worth nothing? All that work, was it for nothing? Well, I'm telling you, it wasn't. Use what you've learned. Continue in what you've learned. Hold on to that faith God has given you. So you see, confirmation isn't the end. Even though you might be glad those classes are over. You don't know all there is to know yet. Neither do I, nor none of us. But there's blessings when we continue to hold on. Jesus says, "Blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it." He also said, "If you continue in my word, you're truly my disciples, and you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free." It's worth it, my friends. It's worth it to hold fast what is good. No one can snatch it away from you. No one can snatch you out of your Father's hand. For you are under the power of the Holy Spirit as you use His word and attend His sacrament. Well, you still got that cross in your hand? Has it fallen apart yet? If it does, let me know. We'll fix it. Guess what Christ promises? He's coming. He's coming soon. He wants you to be ready when He does come. He wants you holding on. The proverb says, hold on to instruction. Do not let it go. Guard it well. It is your life. And from another chapter of Revelation, only hold on what you have until I come, Jesus says. Hold on to your faith. Do what you want with it. Maybe keep it. Maybe put it with your keepsakes, or maybe put it next to your big cross. But may this remind you to hold on. To hold on to what you have. Be faithful, even to the point of death, and I will give you a crown of life, Jesus promises. I am coming soon. Hold on to what you have so that no one will take your crown. God bless you, confirmands. And hold on, okay? Amen.